Parshas Baaloscha. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Vav is one of the biggest enigmas when it comes to Parshas. It says, "Vayishu'aru shnei anashim b'machaneh." There's two men that remained in the camp. Shema Achad Eldad, Shema Sheni Medad. First name was Eldad, the second one was Medad. The Tanach Aleihem Aruach. On them came a spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Behema Baksuvim. They were among the people that were written down. V'lo yatzu olam. They did not go out to the Ohel Moed. These Nabu B'machna. Instead, they prophesied in the camp itself. They made a nevuah, they made prophecies in the camp itself. Now, the first question to ask over here is, who are these people and why are their names so strange? There's no people in Tanakh that are named like Eldad and Medad. Listen, yeah, there's Nadav and Aviu that go together, and there's Dustin and Aviram that go together. That's only because we know them together. That's not because their names are that. Eldad and Medad clearly are connected to one another. And the question is, who are they? So in Rashi says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for 70 Zekanim, Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Shvatim and he said, I want you to choose six people out of every Shevet. Six people out of every Shevet, 12 Shvatim altogether. Ephraim and Menashe are together. Shevet Levi was separate. It could be that Ephraim and Menashe was separate and they didn't choose from Shevet Levi, but let's assume that it was all 12 Shvatim altogether. Six from each Shevet. So 6 times 12 is 72. That meant that two people were automatically going to be left out. There was going to be the 70 Zekanim, and two people were going to be left out. According to Rashi, Eldad and Medad refused to go out, even though their names were chosen. They had two of the spots. They were two of the people that were included that should be part of the Zekanim themselves. They didn't want to embarrass anybody else, so they gave up their spots. They left their spots completely. And as a reward for their generosity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed them to become full-time Nevi'im. That was the reward that Eldad and Medad got, which is a great reward, right? They didn't become part of the Zekanim, but they were tremendous people. In Sanhedrin Kuf Yud, it says it a little bit differently. They were too embarrassed to go out. Not that they didn't want to embarrass other people. They themselves were afraid that they weren't going to be chosen. And if they weren't going to be chosen, they were going to be, oh man, we didn't get chosen. So because they were embarrassed, they didn't go out. That's the line that's given by Sanhedrin Kuf Yud over there. And therefore, because of their embarrassment, they lost the opportunity to become part of the Sanhedrin. That's the idea behind it. Then Tziv says, hold on a second. How in the world could they disobey Moshe? Moshe chose them, told them to come out, and said to them that they're going to be part of Sanhedrin. And they decide they don't want to be part of Sanhedrin? How do they get to choose that way? Says in Tziv, that makes no sense. Why would you have done that? That's the silliest thing in the world. Nobody would do that. Not only that, you can't go against the leader like that. Imagine the king tells you, I want you to meet me today. And you say, I'm not in the mood. I don't want to go. I feel it's embarrassing to somebody else. You can't make that decision. This is the king, says the Netziv. So he says, they were chosen, but then all of a sudden they started to get a nevuah. And when they got that nevuah, they couldn't go on. They were from then on not allowed to be together with the other people. They were greater than the others of Canaan. So they were chosen. They were going to go, says in Itziv, but they couldn't go because they have a brand new profession. They're Nevi'im now. They're Nevi'im. They're not going to be these people. They're not these people anymore. The Malbim says as well, all of a sudden they had a chance to go to the Ohel Moed. They started prophesying in the camp. There was no choice. They had nothing else to do. They had to join Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't have any choice. That's the third opinion that comes out over here. Rav Chaim Kanievsky and Tommy DeCross says it a little bit differently. They knew they were related to Moshe Rabbeinu. That we're going to see later on, Eldad and Medad. They were related to Moshe. So they knew they can't go out. They were too humble. They said, if we go out, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to feel bad if we're not chosen. So he's going to pull... I don't want to say this, but have you ever done a little, you know, a contest when your kids are inside there? You pull out a ticket, you know what your kid's ticket number is, and you're like, I really want my kids to win. Moshe Rabbeinu would feel bad about Eldad and Medad not being chosen, not being number 69 and 70. So he was going to say their names, Eldad and Medad thought, even if they weren't chosen. So they decided we're not going out. They were wrong. Their names were chosen anyway. But Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that's why they didn't go out. They didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to be put on the spot like that. Pardes Yosef says, an awesome answer, Eldad and Medad are brothers. They knew one of them was not going to be chosen because on a Sanhedrin you can't have brothers. So since one of them wasn't going to be chosen, each one of them said, no, you go, brother. No, you go, brother. No, you go, brother. And therefore, both of them didn't go out. That's a tremendous amount of anivus. They didn't go out for that reason. Now, no one else is mentioned over here. Eldad and Medad are the only two of the Zakenim. In fact, the Gemara says a person should never say, I wish our Zakenim were like the Zakenim of back then. For that reason, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, the names of the Zakenim are not mentioned. The Medrash mentions their names, but the Zakenim are not mentioned by the Chumash. Why aren't they mentioned? Because we don't want you to say, oh yeah, are you like those Sanhedrin? Like those 70 people? You're not, so you don't get to tell me what to do. We all have to realize, whoever is in charge at the time, those are our leaders. They may not be as great. Maybe we would have wanted to have the Chafetz Chaim, or Rav Chaim Ozer Grudemsky, or the Chazon Ish, but we don't. We have the Gedolim of our time, and those are perfect for us. Those are Gedolim that we need. And for that reason, the names are mentioned only Eldad and Medad, because they weren't leaders of the people. They were Nevi'im. But they were not leaders of the people itself. That's what the Chizkuni says. The Chafetz Chaim would point out from here that Choshev people stand out. They stand away, I should say, for other great men to take their place. When somebody is supposed to come in, they're the ones who stand back and say, please, you go instead of us. I want you to imagine this for a second. I really put it down. A Rav of a Shul sits there and he sees a very great man in the crowd. So he goes up to the man in the crowd and he says, I'd like you to speak for me this Shabbos. I'm not saying because the rabbi doesn't have a speech ready. Okay? I'm saying the rabbi has a speech ready. He wants to talk to his people, but he sees a great man there and he says to him, on the spot, this is not preordained from something before, and he goes up to him and says, you should be speaking instead. That's such a tremendous amount of anivos. I don't think I could do that. Go up to somebody and just be like, you speak instead, unless I don't have a speech. Then I'd give false humility. I'd be like, please, you speak. No, rabbi, please. No, please. I know I prepared for 7 hours, but you should speak instead. Maybe that's what I would do. I would fake it. But there's no way. Such a person, this shows you how great it is. The Chafetz Chaim, one time, was walking down the street and he saw a leader in Russia. I don't know what the leader is, a mayor, a governor, something like that, right? But he saw a great man in Russia who was going by. So he sat there, right, as everything was going on, he sat there and he jumped out of the way, realizing the guy was coming down the street, so he jumped out of the way. So this leader ran inside, right, went to where the Chafetz Chaim was, right up to where the Chafetz Chaim was, and he said, I need you to help. I need you to know. It's embarrassing to me. It feels like you don't want to say hi to me. It feels like you're running away from me. Why do you do that? So the Chafetz Chaim said, I wanted to give you deference. I don't know if he was joking or if he was saying this seriously. I wanted to give you honor, and I knew that if I was in the street, people might give me honor and they might not give you honor. They don't know you as well as they know me. So I stood aside, and I do this all the time. For anybody who I feel is greater than me, it's that they get their due, the honor that's due to them. That's what I do over here, and that's what I did over here. That was one of my men, hug him, said the Chafetz Chaim. And that makes a lot of sense. That's what a great man does. A great, humble man would do. That's the concept of what he would have. Now, it seems strange, though we mention their names, and it's unique in a way. Eldad and Medad are the only people, this is not from me, so I can't say that I definitely know this. They're the only people mentioned in Tanakh that don't have Yichus. That don't have a Ben something by their name. That we don't know who they're from. Meaning Moshe we know is Ben Amram and Yocheved. We get that, right? We know Aaron. Everybody's mentioned with a Ben whatever it is. But Eldad and Medad have no other names. It's just Eldad and Medad. Not Eldad Ben, etc. Medad Ben, etc. That's it. Eldad and Medad. Why? Yeah. Dustin Aviram, it says, B'nai Eliyav, right? From Shevet Reuven. That it says straight out. Everybody else has a name and a father's name and everything else. These two do not have anything else. I'm not going to say Tanakh. Throughout Nach, I'm sure there's a bunch of people. In the Torah, there's nobody without Yichus. That tells you something. That tells you something about Eldad and Medad. That Eldad and Medad are different from everybody else. It's as if we know who they are. It's as if you should know them. There's somebody you know. Or they're from a family that's so famous that you don't even, I don't need to tell you who they are because you know them already. That's how Eldad and Medad would be. Yeah.
Couldn't they just be
Gerim?
Technically,
Ger has no Yichus. It's a good call. It's a good call. It's a really good call. We know Avram's the son of Terach. That it says straight out. Ben Avraham. Yeah, but you wouldn't say that in the. We don't know because we don't have any Gerim. We have like Sipor Bas Yisro. The problem with Yisro, it's a good call, but we have Reuel Chovav. He's known by other names, and it does say the daughters were the grandfather, etc. So we do have other names by Yisro, right? By Yikach Yisro, etc. So we do have that. Plus, because we already meet him by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's really that we meet Sipora, the daughter of Yisro. So Yisro's already there, so to speak. So it's not that big of a deal. But I hear what you're saying. It's not a bad call. But no, it can't be. I'm sorry. It can't be. It can't be they were Gerim because they're part of Sanhedrin. Okay, Sanhedrin was from the Shvatim. That Klutz Kasha. You almost got me on that one. Almost got me, but I'm not going to. No. No, Klutz Kasha is good. It's something that trips you up, but like, you know, you got to catch it. You got to catch it like that. I just didn't catch it like that. I caught it like that. Just took me a while. Okay, so here we go. So now, that's the question. So here's what Chazal tell us. They were from the most famous family. They were the brothers of Aaron and Moshe. Listen to this medrash. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says they were sons of Eltsafan ben Parnach. If that name doesn't ring a bell, that's because you've never learned Parshas Maaseh. In Parshas Maaseh, there are 12 leaders who are going to divide up the land for the people, and one of them is Eltsafan ben Parnach of Shevet Zvulun. Eltsafan ben Parnach. Eltsafan ben Parnach, here's what happened. Amram divorced his wife Yochaved. Okay, now time out, okay? I know you're going to have questions on all the four midrashim that I'm about to say. I know you're going to have questions. They're going to be awesome questions. I guarantee you I ask them, and I'm going to ask them over here. Do not ask me any questions until I get through with my questions. And if you have another question, aside from these, I will pull out a dollar from my wallet and give it to you. Because I've got 8 questions that I feel are going to encompass everything, but I'm going to give you a dollar. I think these are the only questions. I don't want to question, who is that? No. I mean like a real question over here. I think I'm going to cover the questions. No questions until we're finished with these midrashim, okay? I know they're questionable. Amram divorced his wife Yocheved in Mitzrayim because he said all the children are being thrown into the Nile River. Let's not have any more children. He divorced his wife. Yocheved then went and married Eltsafan ben Parnach. Eltsafan ben Parnach and Yocheved had 2 sons, Eldad and Medad. And then Yocheved divorced Eltsafan, married Amram, we know he was divorced because Eltsafan ben Parnach is alive now, married Amram again, and then had Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? I know there are questions. Time out, again. Oh, we can go time in, but I'm not accepting any questions yet, okay? That's what happens over there. Eltsafan lived for a very long time. He divided up the land, etc., but that's that. Yalkut Ruvaini says maybe it's a different Eltsafan. It's the grandson of the original Eltsafan. But regardless, right, there was an Eltsafan that married Yocheved, had 2 children, Eldad and Medad, and those kids are our Eldad and Medad over here, okay? That's Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. Paneach Razum, Das Zekanim, and the Rush say there were sons of Amram, not Yocheved, sons of Amram from another wife. When the Torah was given, he realized he could no longer remain married to his aunt. He had an aunt. He married his aunt. Yocheved was the daughter of Levi. Amram was the son of Kahas. That means that his father, Kahas, and his wife, Osa, her name was Osa, were brother-sister. Amram married his aunt. So when the Torah was given, he realized, I can't remain married to my aunt. So he divorced Yocheved, right, and married another woman. And Amram had 2 more children, and those children were Eldad and Medad. Listen to the names. Al-Dod, not my aunt, and Medod. It was from my aunt. I came from my aunt in order to marry this person. I married someone else instead. Amazing, right? That's Eldad and Medad. All have to do with that. Rabbi Amram Gon brings from a Rabbi Hillel. This is not Hillel HaZaken. This is not Rabbi Hillel, a Gon. He said he saw the graves of Eldad and Medad, and it said on the graves, they are the brothers of Aaron from the father, but not from the mother. Listen to that. Now, again, questions. Why it mentions Aaron and not Miriam and Moshe, I don't know. But regardless, it says that. The Medrash Tanchuma has a third opinion. Our third opinion is, the Rishonim bring this as the name of the Yesh Omrim. They were not brothers. Eldad was Elidad ben Kislon of Shevet ben Yamin. Remember I mentioned Eltsafan ben Parnach before, from Parshas Maaseh? Over there it mentions, of Shevet ben Yamin, there was Elidad ben Kislon. And Medad is Kemuel ben Shaftan, who was from Shevet Ephraim. Okay? They were not brothers. One was from Shevet ben Yamin, and one was from Shevet Ephraim. They were men who were going to lead them into the desert, and they were very famous men. So thus, Eldad and Medad are not their real names. Their other names, Medad is this guy, Medad is Kemuel, and Eldad is Elidad ben Kislon. Those are the 2 guys. The Baal HaTurim says the extra Yud, right, Eldad and Elidad, is to say that they were Nevi'im. They were special people who were Nevi'im, special that were a little bit different. Rabbeinu Ephraim puts both Rishonim together. They put them both Midrashim together. That they were from Amram, and one was from Shevet Binyamin, one was from Shevet Ephraim. represented those Shvatim. Okay? It's a weird Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now we have some serious problems over here. They're clearly from other Shvatim. So how in the world could you have the Midrashim saying that they're related to one another? That's number one. Number two, if they were only born to Amram after they came into the Midbar, guys, how old are they now? That makes them 5 months old. So if you say, yeah, but they could still be Nevi'im, how could they be Zakenim? They were chosen to be on the Zakenim. There's no 5 months old would be how old they are. If Amram just divorced after he found out about the Torah, that makes no sense at all. They're 5 months old. Number three, okay, if they're Eltzafan's children, let's go to Eltzafan. Does that mean that Amram separated from her and then got back together with her? That means that's machzer grushaso. You can't marry your divorced wife after she marries someone else. You can't go back to her afterwards. Now, oh, well, you'll say she was an aunt anyway. Right? If you're allowed to marry your aunt, you might as well marry Machzer Gushazo. I hear you. You shouldn't marry your aunt either. But I'm just saying, that adds on an Isser. It's straight out Machzer Gushazo. That is a little bit weird. There's another Isser over here. Number four. In the Gemara Sota Yud Beis, it says that when Amram and Yocheved got divorced, Yocheved was already pregnant with Moshe, and he remarried her 3 months later. It's a Gemara in Sota. How did she, while pregnant with Moshe, marry Eltzafan ben Parnach, have Eldad and Medad, and then go back to Amram and give birth to Moshe 6 months later? There's something wrong here. Now, granted, again, there could be a machlokas midrashim. Fine. Machlokas midrashim, I'm not going to argue with. But it's still weird that you have something over here. Number five, how in the world could Eltzafan marry her? What was the reason why Amram divorced Yocheved? He divorced Yocheved because he said no one should have any children, right? Because everybody's being killed. And he made the rule for all of Klal Yisrael. So Eltzafan goes up and marries his wife? I mean, come on! Eltzafan's just going to be like, yeah, your wife's open, I'm taking her now. That's ridiculous. What in the world is going on here? The whole rule was for something like this to happen, and you're getting up and doing this that just doesn't make any sense at all. Why in the world would that be there? Number six, how could they have been on Sanhedrin if they would have been sons of Levi? It seems like Levi may not have been included in Sanhedrin. Now, I already said it could be that Levi was included and Ephraim and Manasseh were together as Yosef, but nonetheless, it still seems weird. It's strange that this is involved over here. Okay, number seven, even if Shevet Levi was involved, if they're brothers, can brothers be on a Sanhedrin? Avade not. So how could you say that they were brothers? They couldn't be brothers. It's clear that they weren't brothers. And finally, number eight. We mentioned Amram's children in a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. It says straight out in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Hei, Pasuk Chof Tes, here are the sons of Amram, and it says Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. It does not mention Eldad and Medad. So how in the world could you say they're Amram's kids when Divrei Hayamim, which is the quintessential source for any children you might have, does not mention Eldad and Medad? Now, are there answers to some of these questions? Yes. Some of the questions can be answered. The part is Yosef brings down from the Toldos Yitzchak, for number two, he said, Amram knew this would be forbidden in the future. So he didn't get divorced right then when the Torah was given and that Eldad and Medad were 5 months old. He divorced Yocheved years earlier, knowing that in the future the Torah would ask her. He does not answer why Amram didn't know that originally, but then somehow figured it out while Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, because Eldad and Medad would have to be old by this time. That he doesn't explain. I don't have an answer to that, but he says that. Number three, that they're Eltzafan's children, what's going on with Machzer Grushaso? So it could be like the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says about why Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. He says the Avos kept the Torah unless there was something great they could do in another way. Meaning, they kept the Torah, but when Yaakov Avinu saw that marrying Rachel and Leah would give him the Shvatim, he said, I'm not going to keep the Torah right now. I wasn't commanded to keep the Torah, so I've been keeping it as a Chumrah, but this Chumrah, right, is going to not allow me to have all these children. So he said, I'm going against the Torah on purpose, says the Orach Chaim, in order to have these great children. And that's exactly, literally exactly what was going on over here. Amram did not want to go against the Torah. He didn't want to marry his aunt. He didn't want to marry Machzer Grushaso. But when he saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be born, or possibly whatever, that's when he got back together. He shouldn't have done it. But you're allowed to if you see the greatness that's there. Number five, a public protest. Eltzafan may have made a public protest. He might have gone out there and said, I know, Amram, you're telling people not to get married because you don't want the children. I hold everybody should get married. He may have gone out there. I hold everybody should go get married. And he went out there and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get married. We're all going to do it. Maybe that's what he said. And because he said that, right, he went and married Yocheved specifically to show Amram that he was making the wrong decision.
Why would Yocheved agree?
I'm sorry?
Why would Yocheved agree?
That's a good question. I don't know. Miriam agreed because Miriam went back to Amram and said this is a bad idea. So I hear what you're saying. Why would Yocheved have agreed? Maybe Yocheved didn't have a choice. Maybe, I don't know if back then Kiddushin was done with the consent of the woman. I know nowadays, you know, well, since the Torah, you can't forcibly marry a girl. Maybe before the Torah there was such a thing that you could do such a thing. Not positive about that. I don't know. That's an interesting call over there. Party Zosa says another thing. Maybe he wasn't Mekayim Pru Revu yet, so he had to have children, so he married somebody. But why you would choose on a 130-year-old woman would be a little strange. that she's no spring chicken. Luckily, she did have Moshe, but like that's not somebody that I would have chosen. That's a weird answer over there. And number 70, you should just know, number 7, I'm sorry, that how do you do the Sanhedrin? They're brothers. The answer could simply be, this Sanhedrin was not the same Sanhedrin that judged people. For judging, you're right, you can't have brothers. This Sanhedrin was bringing down the Shekhinah. Bringing down the Shekhinah, you took the 70 greatest people out there. They could be brothers. It's possible for them to be brothers. Okay, that's a possibility. That's brought out there. Now, I'm going to skip for right now what they prophesied about. I'm going to skip it for now. I may come back to it. That's something that I want to come back to. I just want to go into, there's so much to be able to go over here, how they did it. All I'm going to mention over here, there's an amazing, I'm going to say out loud, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Zayin, Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel and Targum Yerushalmi here, and the Malbim, an amazing bunch of Pirushim that you should look up yourselves if you can. Rashi says, Moshe Meis, the Yoshua Machnes, as Bnei Yisrael, as Yisrael, la'aretz Yisrael. I'm sorry?
Yeah, these were the two Eldam Eidah that prophesied.
Eldam Eidah, they prophesied. Moshe will die, and Yoshua will bring Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. There is an absolute, unbelievable Chanukah Satira and Maharil. If you haven't heard this before, this is well worth your time. Okay? Here's what they say. They say, this is hinted to. Their Nevuah is hinted to by what they did. It says they were misnabim, prophesying, b'machaneh, in the camp. Okay? They were prophesying in the camp. Does anybody know why Moshe Rabbeinu was named Moshe Rabbeinu? What Pasuk Bisya said? What said? That what? She put out her hand and she pulled him from the water. You know what the wording is? Mina? You got the word. It's close. Min hamayim mishisihu. From the water she pulled him. Min hamayim mishisihu. So here's the problem. It shouldn't be min hamayim mishisihu. It should be mimayim mishisihu. There's an extra nun and hey. Instead of min hamayim, it should be mimayim. Mishisil, she pulled him from the water, right? Now, what's the difference between the two? I don't know semantic, you know, I don't know when it comes to linguistically why it says it that way. But here's what they say. Here's what the Chanukah Torah and the Maril say over here. The reason why is because they looked at the words min hamayim and they erased the nun hey like they thought it should be written. And it came out to be Mimayim Mishisihu. And here's what they said. They were misnabim, they prophesied, bimach, mach means to erase, nun hei. Bimachane, bimach, by erasing the nun hei. What did they come out with? You erase the nun hei, what do you come out with? Mimayim. Mimayim, mem, mem, yud, mem. Moshe, Meis, Yoshua, Machnes. Moshe, Meis, Yoshua, Machnes. That's what they prophesied. Now, hold on, you're going to have a problem. Rashi, this is my third time out for right now, okay? I have like one more until half. So, Rashi says, Moshe, Meis, V'Yoshua, Machnes. Rashi says, Moshe, Meis, V'Yoshua, Machnes. There's a vav in there. So what's going on? Look at the Medrash directly. The Medrash does not have a vav. The Medrash says, Moshe, Meis, Yoshua, Machnes. I don't know why Rashi put in the vav. But the Medrash says, Moshe, Meis, Yoshua, Machnes. That's what they did, and they came out to that idea. This is the reason why Rashi put it inside there. That's exactly what they ended up doing. The Rush says, Misnabim stands for Moshe, Tanuach, Nafsho, Be'eden, Az, Yoshua, Machnes. Moshe will die in Gan Eden, and then Yoshua will bring them in. Yalkut Reuveni says, Moshe, Tanuach, Nafsho, Be'gan Elokim. Moshe will die in the Gan Elokim. Yoshua, Machnes. Yoshua will bring them in. I don't care. All of them are good. They're all really, really awesome. There was another one mentioned by the Al-Gurbani that we're going to skip right now. Either way, there's some awesome, awesome stuff over here. But we're going to have to learn a little bit about what's going on over here. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says the reason why Yoshua got so angry after they prophesied is because they were doing it. They were saying something about the future. You're not allowed to prophesy about the future without the head Navi there. The head Navi has to talk about the future. If the head Navi is not there, you can't talk about it. Not only were Eldon and Medad talking about the future, about what was going to be, that Moshe was going to die, or about the Slav, or about Gog and Magog, they were prophesying about something in the future. Not only that, but they were also prophesying in the camp, which means they weren't by the Ohel Moed with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's as almost as if they were hiding from Moshe Rabbeinu. It says to Rabbeinu Bachai, Yeshua looked at him and said, what are you letting them do this for? Claim! Destroy these people. Even if they're true Nevi'im, it doesn't matter. They shouldn't be doing this. This is the wrong thing to do. The Shach says, it seemed that they had gone purposely into the Machna itself. They purposely went to the Machna. That's crazy. Why would they allow it? Yeshua couldn't understand it. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's not them. He knew that this is a true prophecy. He understood this is a real prophecy. He said, that's not the problem. What's up?
So, were they even in control of that? Meaning, like, did they get a nevuah? First of all, there's an obligation not to say.
Very good. Very, very good.
They not say it? Meaning, like, is it something that they would have to...
You're 100% right. Everybody asks on Yoshua. What was his problem? If they're nevi'im, they have to say out their nevuah, and they got to do it right then. They can't wait. And they were told to be Misnah B'machna. It seems strange. That is asked by almost everybody over here. The Imre Emes and the Shem Yishmol, they try to go into other reasons because of that. Shem Yishmol says the real problem was not that they were prophesying or anything like that. He couldn't believe it was real Nevuah. Why? Here's one thing that you should know about Nevi'im. No two Nevi'im can prophesy exactly alike. They can't do it. If you have two Nevi'im that prophesy exactly alike, that means it's a fake. It's automatically a fake.
So then these two people...
Eldon and Medad were doing it together. And therefore, says the Shem Yishmol, Yoshua said, this is suspicious. Something's wrong here. Kla'im, said Yoshua, put them in jail. Because there's no way they're saying a real Nevuah. They couldn't say it together. There's no way it's going to work together. That's what they ended up saying. The truth is, the Nevuahs were not the same. Yoshua misheard. Remember, a shliach came and told Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Menashe, who came and told Moshe Rabbeinu what was going on, right? His son came along and said it. He thought that they were prophesying together, but it wasn't. That's why Yonas Ben Uzziel says that Eldad prophesied about the Slav, Medad prophesied about Gog Magog, about Moshe dying, and then they both prophesied about what was going to be in the war of Gog and Magog. Purposely, they went out there, but the shliach didn't say it correctly. That's why Yoshua wanted them to die, but they were wrong for that. You got to check out the Imre Emes and the Sfas Emes over here as well. Amazing, amazing stuff over here. Now, there is a crazy Otzer HaSippurim. Before we go into the last part of our shir, there's an Otzer HaSippurim. It's number 20, number 18 in Chelek Chaf. Okay? Chelek Chaf, number 18. It's a story about the Kol Aryeh. Kol Aryeh wrote he's a chassid. He wrote a sefer called the Kol Aryeh, who was once traveling with the Tzanzarev. Okay, the Tzanzer Rebbe. They came to a tavern to rest a bit, right? To sit down and whatever it is to, before they went on. As they were sitting down, the Rebbe said he felt a tremendous amount of Kedusha in this inn, in this the tavern, in this area. Something's up. There's something here that he couldn't recognize. So the Kol Aryeh got up and he went to the tavern owner and he went to him and he said, is there a great Rebbe staying around here? He said, no. So he started testing him. Maybe he's a great Rebbe. Maybe he's a hidden tzaddik. The guy was not a hidden tzaddik. He wasn't faking anything. He was just, you know, he's an Amoritz. So he said, there's something here that's filled with Kedusha. What could it be? So the guy thought for a little bit, the tavern owner, and he said, you know, one time my wife was having a very, very difficult time nursing the baby. She wasn't getting enough milk. There wasn't enough milk for the baby. So we went to a great Rebbe. I forgot who it was. Oh, the Yismach Moshe. We went to the Yismach Moshe, and we asked him for a bracha to be able to nurse the baby correctly. And the Yismach Moshe wrote up a kameya. Kameya is an amulet. He wrote up an amulet, and he gave it to my wife, right? And from that point on, my wife had an abundant amount of milk. More milk than she could ever imagine. She was able to give as much milk as the child needed until the child was dead. That's a weird line. That's a weird line. I did not mean to say it that way. Yeah, that is pretty awesome. How does that go through? Until the child finished nursing, which is clearly not dead. That's a weird mistake. You know, I'm just going to say, I feel a tremendous amount of tuma in this room. Anyway, so because of that, right, until the child finished nursing. So they said, the Kol Aryeh said to him, do you know where that kameya is? Do you know where the kameya is? So she said, he said, I don't know, I'll have to ask my wife. He asked his wife, they went to go look for it. They searched everywhere. They found it. They brought it over, the Yismach Moshe's kameya. They brought it over to the Tzanzarov. The Tzanzarov opened it up. Inside the kameya, it said, Eldad Omedad. That's what it said. Eldad Umeidad. Now, I don't fully understand it. The line that's given by the Tzanzarov after he saw it was, yes, Eldad and Meida. Now, I think the word dad in Hebrew refers to the chest. I don't know what the connection is because I don't know Kabbalah. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I have no idea what the connection is. El dad, that it should go to the dad, and may dad, that it should come from the dad. I don't know what that means. Maybe that's the pshat, and there's something to do that. But clearly there's a deeper understanding behind all this. Because it's not like this is going to work every time. You just write that down on a piece of paper, el dad, and everybody's like, oh, now we can nurse. That doesn't happen. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. I just don't fully get it. But clearly there's something up with el dad, and that leads us really to our question for today. Who in the world are Eldad and Medad? I've given you the Midrashim. I've told you the issues. I don't understand. I really do not know anyone else that we talk about in Tanakh that you have such disparaging, like totally separate. It's Amram's kids. No, it's Yochavid's kids. What? Who are they? Are they brothers? What is going on here? Who are these people? Such famous people, Nevi'im, that are separated from everybody else. What's going on here? Okay. Yalkut Ruveni says that they were named because of what they did here. Dad, we already said, means a breast that refers to a child suckling from its mother. Eldad the Medad had the ability to pull down Shefa and Parnassa from Shemayim like no one else other than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give the mun to Klal Yisrael. Moshe was able to get slav for Klal Yisrael. Miriam was able to get water. Perhaps. The slav didn't really come from Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Perhaps it came from Eldad and Medad. According to the Chassam Sofer, the purpose of the 70 Zakenim was so that the people would have somebody they would connect with. There was somebody they couldn't connect to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was too far out there for them. He was too far gone. But Eldad and Medad, maybe they could connect with. They weren't part of the Zakenim. Perhaps the slav was in their merit, and that's why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that they prophesied about the slav coming. Their schus caused that to be able to be there. Maybe. I'm not saying this for sure, but maybe that's the idea behind it. Eldad and Medad, they were able to bring down the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the dad, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that they were able to be yonik. They were able to nurse from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give them. Moshe Rabbeinu could give them mun. But somebody had to bring them slav. And the slav would have come through Eldad and Medad. That's one suggestion based on the Yalkut Ruveni itself. The Rama Mipano says a crazy idea. He says the Gilgulim of Eldad and Medad were in a Gemara of Chagiga Gimel Amud Aleph. I don't know if you guys know this Gemara in Chagiga, in which it says there were two mute people who were sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The Gemara is trying to prove whether mute people have the ability to learn or not. And the Gemara proves mute people can learn. Even if you can't speak, you can definitely learn. Why? Because there were two people who were ilmim, mute people who sat in front of Moshe, who sat in front of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would teach them, and all the time they would follow along with their eyes, and they'd mouth it with their lips, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi davened for them, and gave them rachamim, and they were able to speak, and they found that they were experts in kulashas, they were experts in all of shas. Those two ilmim, says the Rama Mipano, brought by the Chida, was Eldad and Medad, the Gilgulim of Eldad and Medad. Now why? So I think it's obvious, but the Pardes Yosef says this way, their nevuah was done inappropriately. Why it was done inappropriately? Perhaps because it was done in the Machna, maybe it was done in a different way, I don't know. I'm not so sure why exactly it was inappropriate, but something was inappropriate about their nevuah. So because they spoke something inappropriate, therefore they lost their ability to speak in their next life. That's one way to be able to look over here. Or, because what did Yoshua say to Moshe? Kila'aim. Lock them up, jail them, throw them away, destroy them, said Yoshua. A curse from a person like Yoshua caused them to be ke'ilame. You see the word? Like a mute person. These two ilmim learned during that time, or whatever it was, only when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi davened for them did they come back. And that's the idea. Notice the word Eldad and Medad, right? You take away the dad from both, you have el-mi, that's ilmi. Aleph, Lamed, Mem, Yud. The mute people that were by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi were Eldad and Medad, and that's their names themselves. That's an amazing, amazing abort from the Rama Mipano, which tells you something as well. And then comes the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer quotes the Moreh Na'im, who says, how many nations are there in the world, guys? How many nations? 70 nations. That's what everybody knows, right? Says the Moreh Na'im, there are 72. Two of them are not chashuv enough to have a malach. There are 70 nations that have a malach above, But there are two nations that are not connected to a Malach above. Who are those two nations that are not connected to a Malach above? And I know you could argue, I know there are Midrashim that are against this, but the two nations that have no connection to a Malach above are the Kasdim, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and number two, Edom. Edom is a Malach above. We all know who's the Malach of Edom? The Malach HaMaves, the Satan, whatever it is, right? We all know that, right? Apparently that's not a Malach really above. Esav, which is Edom, and Bavel do not have a Malach above. Therefore, they were the only two nations that could destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Bavel destroyed the first, right? And Edom destroyed the second, because they have no Malach. If they had a Malach, they couldn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Malach knows that the Beis HaMikdash is important for every nation in the world. But they don't have a Malach. So therefore, they destroyed something else. So listen to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Eldad and Medad are, so to speak, the Malachim of those two nations. Of Edom and Bavel. Now listen to this. He says the 70 Zakenim are connected to the 70 nations of the world. So therefore, the 70 nations are all represented by one of the Zakenim, one of the 70 Zakenim. But there are two nations not represented. What are they going to do? What are the Kasdim and the Edom going to do? How do they get represented in Klal Yisrael? They're represented by Eldad and Medad. They took their place. Eldad and Medad became the people in charge of them. That's what he says. So now, with all that information, I don't know if I fully get it, but this sheet you guys don't have, here's how I think you can understand this. Eldad and Medad have no yichus, which indicates they're connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe this is not physically. Maybe it's spiritually. And the question the Medrash is asking is how ruchnius-wise, are they connected to Amram, or are they more connected to Yocheved? Do they have, I'm just saying it in this way, I don't know if this is 100% true, are they like Amram through the Midah of Chesed, or through Yocheved in the Midah of Din? If we need to understand that, I can try to explain it in a different way. But which Midah do they represent of Amram and Yocheved? Which one are they supposed to be? Maybe it's through Gilgulim. Maybe it's through something that's outside of this world. But it means they existed to be somewhat of a conduit for Klal Yisrael to some spiritual way to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. They were going to connect them. See, here's the pshat. Had Bnei Yisrael not complained about the man, if they would have accepted Moshe Rabbeinu wholeheartedly and accepted what Moshe Rabbeinu was as a person, a malach of a person, had they accepted it, then maybe the world would have been happier. Maybe it would have been happier. Here's what would have happened. They would have accepted the man. Everything would have been good. They wouldn't have needed spies. The only reason why they needed spies is because they started complaining, and they started complaining about Eretz Yisrael. Korach never would have argued. The Meraglim never would have happened, which means what? Which means they would have entered Eretz Yisrael immediately. All the nations would have been destroyed immediately. The Beis HaMikdash would have been built right then. There'd be no need for the Slav. There'd be no need. Ready? For what was going to be with Moshe dying and Yeshua bringing them in, there'd be no need for the war of Gog and Magog. What they prophesied about would be unnecessary. What Eldad and Medad were possibilities they didn't have to exist. If they wouldn't have complained about the man, Eldad and Medad never would have gotten their Nebuah. Eldad and Medad were only there because Bnei Yisrael sinned. It was, so to speak, like a connection. Their immaturity caused Eldad and Medad to be the people that they were. Therefore, it doesn't matter who they were. It doesn't matter what Shevet they were from. Those don't matter. All that we know is Eldad Umedad. You are messing up your connection to the Dad, to the connector back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Mashpia that's giving you everything you need. You're messing that up. They're like the people. They couldn't make it to the Ol Moed. They were Misnabim B'machne. They were in the Machne. They were, so to speak, like the 3,550 people that were not connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. We all know Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to how many people? Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to 600,000 Jews. But there weren't 600,000 Jews. There were how many? 603,550. What about those extra 3,550? The answer is, say the Hasidim, 3,550 were not connected to Moshe. They had no connection. They were Korach. And they were the Meraglim. They were the people who didn't have any connection. Eldad and Medad represented the people that were disconnected, so to speak, this idea. There were other people out there. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu somehow could have connected with them. Maybe Eldad and Medad could have been great, great people on their own. They were not evil people at all. Maybe they should have been part of Sanhedrin. But when Bnei Yisrael messed it up, they became the Misnabim B'machaneh. They became the people who said horrible nebuos, because that's what Bnei Yisrael needed at the time. It's a possibility that this is what they were all about. I have some more ideas, but we're going to stop with this, guys. We're going to end with this right over here. Shkoyach.